forgotten as the sun. Rising in the east, tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
Cinderella didn't live happily ever after. Oh, no! That's the name of the book, and Beale is the author of that book. The subtitle is The Hidden Messages in Fairy Tales. So, Anne, first of all, I thought, what do I know? Cinderella did live happily ever after. You say, no, 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 no.
No, I know. It's sad. I thought she did, too. But then I did an analysis of fairy tales and found that there are a lot of reasons why she likely did not live happily ever after.
Well, there's an overriding topic here that motivated you to write this book in the first place and to look at fairy tales, which is...
Well, I think it's partly the Me Too, as well as I think that fairy tales are actually part of our culture. And if you look at, you know, Beauty and the Beast, for example, just hit the $1 billion mark in terms of revenue. And that is a Grimm's fairy tale. It's actually not a Grimm's fairy tale, but it's a version of a Grimm's fairy tale. But there are a lot of beloved fairy tales in the Grimm's collection that are culturally incredibly important. Cinderella is a cultural icon for us. And if we look very closely, though, at what's going on with her and other characters, I think we have reason to believe that, in fact, it's probably not the case that she lived happily ever after. And so we actually did a data analysis.
How do you do a data analysis of fairy tales? Let me back up a little bit. And I want to get to the data analysis of fairy tales in a moment. But so you're saying that women don't have very good role models compared to men based on fairy tales?
I think that there are a variety of role models that are available to women, but in terms of the actual fairy tale role models, which are a part of our culture, these are not great ones because in general they tend to be very passive. They tend to actually be victimized. And we'll talk a little bit more about how a lot of powerful women in fairy tales are generally evil.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you think about it, they kind of are. So we will talk about that. So I want to get back again to what motivated you to do this. Did you just wake up one morning and say, the Me Too thing is a thing now? We've got to look at the background of some of the explanations for some of these problems.
Actually, what motivated it was that I had a bad day at work and ended up pulling out fairy tales and thought I'll just, you know, escape.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you horrified by reading fairy tales?
I was actually reading them as an adult and thought, oh my goodness, wow, there's something going on here. And at that point, I thought, I've got to analyze these because, as you know, I'm a social scientist.
You're an analyst. I know. So when you analyze the fairy – how do you analyze a fairy tale, by the way?
So what we do is you actually go through and you code the characters in terms of a lot of different things. So you might go through and code suffering. So how, you know, it does suffering occur in this fairy tale? Who is causing suffering to whom? Are there evil and good characters, which there, by the way, are mostly evil and good characters in every fairy tale? And you code whether there's evil, whether there's good, who's good, who's evil, what the gender of the evil versus the good character. And you literally create a set of incredibly complex Excel spreadsheets, and then you analyze them.
So one thing I can think about is that women were – the beautiful women in fairy tales are good people. And women that aren't so beautiful are very bad people. Is that true?
There is certainly there's one interesting thing that we found, which is that marrying up in fairy tales is actually related to beauty for women, but it's actually related to feats of bravery for men. So one of the things that you may or may not be aware of is that there's actually as many instances of male characters marrying up, so a common man marrying a princess. Ooh. Is there are examples of the Cinderellas marrying the princes. We tend to note the Cinderellas are the ones that we kind of gravitate towards, but there's as many examples. But in almost every case where a woman marries up, it's for her beauty. And sometimes only the beauty. In fact, in some cases in the fairy tales, the king or the prince meets her and just proposes immediately. Someone should tell my
boy. It's like that musical that where they instantly say, I love you.
Right. So in those cases, the immediate proposal, I think, it happens right away. But for the princess, for the guy who marries the princess, the common man, he has to perform a feat of bravery. He has to show incredible intelligence. He has to do something. So it's interesting that beauty is related to marrying up for women, but obviously not for men. In fact, in any number of fairy tales, female characters marry wildly inappropriate people or fall in love with wildly inappropriate people like beasts. In one example, a king has his daughter marry a donkey.
What?
And, yes.
That doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right.
I'm all for mixed marriages, but that's a bit too much. What did you just say? What fairy tale is that?
It's the little donkey.
That's what it's called.
I believe that's the name of it.
I don't know that fairy tale.
Yeah.
So what happens?
It's a Grimm's fairy tale, and it is actually it is a case where a donkey can play the lute. And he.
What's the lute?
It's a musical instrument.
Okay.
And he, I think it's like a flute, I think.
Okay.
But he plays this thing very well, and the king brings him into the kingdom because he's so fun. And he ends up, you know, becoming a part of the court. And then he becomes very sad and he wants to leave. And the king says, what can I do to make you stay? Can I give you half the kingdom? Can I give you riches? And the donkey says, no, no. And he says, how about my daughter? Would you like her? And he says, well, yes. And so he marries the princess. And this is an example where there are no examples of male characters marrying animals. But there are examples of female characters falling in love, like, for example, Beauty and the Beast, and examples where she marries a donkey. In one case, a princess is betrothed to an iron stove.
What?
I kid you not.
All right. So how are we taking these fairy tales too seriously, though? I mean, they're fairy tales.
Sure.
I think kids know that these aren't – that you really don't marry a stove in real life. So are we taking it all too seriously? Like, I would argue we take lots of things now too seriously.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. There's a Facebook page for the book, and someone posted on it, can't we have fun anymore?
Yeah, really?
And I kind of find that both sad and amusing in the same way. And I agree that in some levels, at some level, we don't want to take things too seriously. I don't suggest that we should not have enjoyment in fairy tales. But I do think it's interesting when one gender does something in a fairy tale and the other gender doesn't. If it was equal across the genders, I probably would say, sure, the case where the prince marries the, you know, iron stove, or where he marries a, you know, a duck or something, fun, right? But it's only occurring in one direction. And I would argue that we are affected by these fairy tales. I would argue that in everyday life, if you start to listen from this point forward, you will hear words like fairy tale wedding, Prince Charming. You will hear that in everyday speech a lot more. He treats her like a queen. Oh, you know, people, I think, have in some level of their consciousness kind of an affection for these things.
She's an ugly duckling or something. Or is that a fairy tale even? I don't know.
It is not, but
now it is. All right. So who is this Grimm dude? I mean, he lived a long time ago.
Yeah.
He was a real guy, right?
Two brothers who collected oral fairy tales in Germany, and they collected them. And fairy tales, by the way, are ancient. They are, for example, Beauty and the Beast is, I think, 4,000 years old. Cinderella is, I think, 3,000 years old. So they collected these. They were oral stories that were hanging around. And these guys collected them, and they are predominant and prevalent across all cultures. In fact, there's 1,500 versions of Cinderella across
really?
All cultures. Yeah.
So that's sort of my question, though. I mean, it goes back more than 5 years, you know. It goes back a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well before the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
And at a point in time when cultures were different, people were treated differently by one another – can we give them a pass for that? And do we have a choice? Because we can't go back to those Grimm dudes and say, you had it wrong.
Well, I don't think that fairy tales are wrong. I think that they represent some notions that we have. And I think the idea of finding your Prince Charming who will save you and give you a kingdom is not an idea that isn't prevalent in our culture. I think some people are kind of looking for that.
Yeah.
And I think the notion that women tend to marry men who are higher status is a very common idea. And, you know, that's, I think, Cinderella may be part of where we sort of get these ideas from. So I think it's interesting, and I think it, you know, if you
have to give them credit. I mean, no offense to you.
Yeah.
You've written lots of books, but I don't know if 5,000 years from now, people are going to be reading those books, you know?
No.
And here, we're still talking. You wrote a book about what they did. How long ago was this?
Well, this was
the Grimms?
The Grimms are probably in the 1700s.
Yeah, so that's my point.
Yeah,
it's thousands of years ago, and we're still talking about it.
We are.
And credit for them, you know?
And I think all they did was collect what was present, right? So this is in our culture. This is in prior centuries culture. So there's something interesting here to look at, because I think what we're looking at is we're looking at culture. We are looking at notions of gender. And think about it. I mean, these are a lot of stories about royalty, you know, and a lot of us aspire to be rich or famous or to marry a prince.
Interesting.
Prince Harry.
So, right. So what's interesting, Prince Harry's still in the headlines, right?
Yes.
And the other prince there, what's his name?
William.
Yeah. I mean, everything they do, they sneeze and it's in the newspapers.
Of course.
Well, of course, because maybe that hasn't changed.
Hasn't changed.
There's so much that hasn't changed. Does that say something about, I don't know, maybe the human condition, that we all aspire always to be something that we maybe cannot be?
Absolutely. And I think that the idea that a beautiful, good woman who is treated horribly, that eventually someone will see her beauty and her goodness, and she will marry as a result of it and have a completely different lifestyle. That's the story.
So what did you find out in doing your research? What did you find out about women in particular in these fairy tales? Because that's what motivated you to do it. You had a hunch.
I had a hunch.
Yeah, that women weren't treated so great overall. You talked about already the disparity. Is there anything else that you learned?
I learned a ton. I learned one of the things that's most interesting was that I learned that in fairy tales, there are powerful characters, usually power is held by men. So usually, I think 80% of the time, the most powerful character is a man who is a king or a prince. He holds his power by position. There are powerful women, but they tend to be evil, and they tend to be wicked. So in general, what we found is that for all female characters that were powerful, over half the time they were evil. And so what we're saying is that powerful men tend to be, by the way, benevolent. They tend to hold, kings and princes tend to be good characters, tend to do what's right. So powerful men are good, but powerful women over half the time are evil. And so it reminds me of a Saturday Night Live skit where they had Amy Poehler played Hillary Clinton throwing a Halloween party, and she was wearing a bride's dress, a wedding dress. And people kept coming up to her and saying, "Oh my gosh, great costume. You make a great witch." And I think we view powerful women with a certain level of suspicion because we've been taught that they're largely evil.
So you think this actually goes back to the way we're brought up as children from the very start, both boys and girls?
Right.
Because everyone hears those fairy tales. Do you think this really influences culture?
Yes.
Today.
I do. One of the characters that's extremely powerful and evil is stepmother. The stepmother character in fairy tales, they're 100% of the time, they are evil. They try to do terrible things to their stepchildren. There is not one instance of a good stepmother.
You didn't find literally one?
Not one. And I have to say, that's an example where children are taught from an early age, stepmothers are evil. And it's a very easy character to dislike, but there are millions of step-parents and millions of stepmothers in this country, and they deal with that stereotype on a regular basis. And having been a stepmother myself once, I can honestly say that there is a level of antagonism toward that role, and it's very hard. And I do believe it starts with fairy tales.
Wow. I never would have thought about that. Did you find anything else? That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Did you find anything else that's somewhat similar that we might not have thought about before?
What I found was that with good and evil, and that's generally how it works, is there's good and evil in fairy tales, and good always overcomes evil. What I found—
Always, by the way?
Mostly. Mostly it does. And what I found is that good is generally vanquishing evil in the form of a king or prince vanquishing an evil woman. So a man in charge is vanquishing a powerful woman who is evil. Hmm. That's a common plot line. Very problematic when good is always male and evil is largely female. That's a pretty big problem there. So I think that there's a lot to think about with that.
And so how do we fix all this? I mean, your book, Cinderella Didn't Live Happily Ever After, The Hidden Messages in Fairy Tales, talks about the Grimm fairy tales and some others. But do we can't rewrite those fairy tales. Do we get new fairy tales? I don't know. How do we fix this?
Well, I think actually there's nothing wrong with the fairy tales, but we have to view them in a certain context. And we also have
How does an 8-year-old do that?
Well,
is that how old you are when you hear fairy tales? But how does
fairly young, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. How does you're saying that earlier you said it, and in your book you write about how it impacts culture, all of us, from a very young age. It sort of sets the mold when we're very, very young.
Right.
So except not hearing those fairy tales, how do we fix that? Or hearing alternative fairy tales, which I don't think there are a lot of. Maybe there are and I don't know about them.
There actually are some alternative fairy tales that are available.
How do you find those?
Actually,
go to the library and look under alternative fairy tales? I don't know.
You know, they actually appear in some movies. I think the Frozen movie is a little bit of a different take where the focus is on the sisters and their relationship and not on finding a handsome prince. It's on finding each other. Brave is an example of a fairy tale that's been made up by Disney, which is about this very strong female character who, by the way, they have a competition where these princes compete for her hand and she goes and competes for her own hand to not be married. So, you know, fun, right?
Uh-huh.
Not to be taken too seriously. I know that there are some celebrities who, when they read, you know, the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, say, you know, that wasn't right of the prince to kiss her when she was sleeping. She didn't know him. That's not really too cool. So they can give some, like, yeah.
So
this
you
is,
ad lib a little as
you can
talk about the fairy tales
you
to
can.
Your kids?
You can decide what fairy tales you want to share. You know, what we found, we did an analysis of the emotions that characters feel. And what we found is that kings tend to be angry and they tend to be happy. But they're the most happy character. They're also the most powerful character. Queens tend to be actually mostly sad.
Oh.
And princesses are mostly fearful because they're waiting to be saved. So, you know, I would say, hey, I think we're a little bit more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think Cinderella lived happily ever after.
Oh, that's so sad. I hate to end the podcast in a bad way. And you know what? Fairy tales always have happy endings, don't they? Or don't they?
Well,
I thought they did.
I think that they usually say, and they lived happily ever after. I guess what I would question is, what does that mean for you? Does that mean that you find, as a woman, you find the guy who has higher status and the wealth and who can give you your castle? Or does it mean that you find someone who's more of a partner? Or does it mean that you find someone that you end up being a little bit more of the one with the status and wealth? What does it mean? There's lots of different options.
So how did Cinderella live? If it wasn't happily ever after, what was it? Tell us the truth. We want to know.
I don't know. So my issue with Cinderella is as follows. First of all, you know, she doesn't show a lot of initiative. You know, she... She's victimized by her, you know, family. She doesn't, like, find another situation. She doesn't even actually complain about it. She can't seem to get herself to the ball, so she needs, you know, a fairy godmother who's going to provide transportation.
There weren't Ubers back then.
Yeah, there weren't. And then, you know, my feeling is, like, she's marrying somebody who's, like, higher status, and she doesn't have those – she does not have the, you know, qualifications for the job position. She's never run a kingdom before, you know. And, you know, lastly, I think she's got some punctuality issues. So.
Clearly, yes. Poor Cinderella. Well, no wonder why she didn't deserve to live happily ever after. Anne Beale, the author of the book, Cinderella Didn't Live Happily Ever After, The Hidden Messages in Fairy Tales. Thank you.
Thank you.